Do you have Helen's number? Helen?
I have her on Facebook.
Oh, do you? Because I don't know if she's made it back yet or... Well, she went to Parkersburg or somewhere last weekend, and she said if she could get her dialysis moved, she was going to stay up there a few days, but I don't know if she came back yet or not. I was just going to say, if she doesn't make it today, you might send her a message or something.
I'll do that.
She might have forgot. She'll get started doing something, and then you won't see her for a while because of her...
She has
dementia or whatever.
Joel will be online watching because there's...
Okay, so your Sunday school lesson is in Psalm, the 139th Psalm, and the name of it is Nothing is Hidden from God. So, who wants to start us out?
Are we trust security, peace, obedience, hunger for us? Know God the way He knows us. He knew where to start searching and studying and then grow and mature.
I think the whole world should.
Mm-hmm.
It's a message for everybody.
Yes.
Well, He knows our every thought, so we better watch what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would bring up the question, Does knowing God knows all things about you, does that comfort you, or does that bring fear?
I say it comforts you.
Okay, probably for most people, it probably brings both. You're right, because the comfort part of it comes from knowing we have this assurance that God is aware of our needs. He has a plan and a purpose for our life. He's going to take care of us, all these things He's going to do. But the fear comes when we realize that, as Dad said, God knows everything, every thought, every action, everything that's going on, which includes the times that we're disobedient and not living according to His will. So that part we shouldn't have, but that part we all have.
Well, David even wanted God to show him His
right. So the only way to overcome this is we have to spend time in the Word of God, in prayer, because we need to better understand what God has in store for us, so that instead of being afraid of the knowledge of God, we can use that knowledge that He has in store for us to continue to trust in Him the way that we're supposed to. So that's kind of where the fear comes in, is we don't always put our trust and our faith in Him. So we need to understand that we need to turn that part into a place of comfort and peace of mind. And that's what, when David, when he was doing this, he said that's one of the things he had trouble doing, was he was okay with being comforted by everything God could do with him, but he was fearful of knowing that God knew all the things that he was doing wrong in his life. And David said, I need to turn that part into comfort as well. Instead of being fearful, we're always going to do stuff wrong in our life, but instead of being fearful of that, we should find comfort in that God knows that, because now He knows that. He'll reveal that to us through the Holy Spirit, and now we can work on those things in our life with His help, overcoming those things in our life and getting rid of those times of disobedience. That's what makes our relationship with God grow stronger. So that's what kind of what David was trying to tell us in this, was that we should find comfort in everything. In God's all-knowing knowledge, we should find comfort in all of it, even knowing that He knows the things in our life that aren't pleasing unto Him. We shouldn't be afraid of that. We should use that to work on those things in our life.
We need need to realize that God wrote the book.
Yes.
And I ask God to give me the strength to overcome, for that strength comes from His Word.
Yes. Yes. So in Hebrews, I found that this verse, and I like this verse. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do," meaning the eyes of God. So everything in our life, nothing is hidden from God. Everything in our life is uncovered. It's laid out before His presence. And when we think nobody else understands what we're going through in our life, God does. And there's always a lot of times in our life that we're going through something and I can't talk to this person. I can't talk because just nobody understands what I'm going through. God understands. So we can always go to God because He always sees us. He always understands us. And it, no matter what He sees and understands about us, His love never changes. Where other people will change, their reaction towards you will change depending upon what they find out about you as you go through life. That'll change their reaction towards you. But God's reaction will never change. So even when we doubt Him, even when we don't trust Him, even when all these things are going on in our life that maybe is not pleasing unto Him, He still loves us because He still understands and knows all those things. So that means we can, instead of being afraid to live with that, we can live with the understanding of the knowing the truthfulness that nothing remains hidden from God. That should be something good to us, that everything's always out in the open. There's never anything that He doesn't know. So as we begin to understand that, then that should be comforting to us. And that's one of these days when everybody stands before God, then everybody's going to give an account of everything. Right.
We're going to do before we do it.
Yeah, this kind of goes along with what we've been studying on Thursday evening. These last two or three lessons do. So David said in the 139th Psalm, we'll read the first few verses. He said, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." So the entirety of our life, which means every thought, every action, every reaction, even the thoughts that you have not put into action yet, and even the words that you have not spoken yet, we're just amazed at the fact that God knows all those things. And that's knowledge, and the reason sometimes we fear that is because that is knowledge that we haven't learned to grasp yet. That's knowledge that as we sit down and think about those things, it's our knowledge of knowing God has all that knowledge. We just don't understand it. So we don't understand how some things work in life because of that. We know God takes care of it. God's doing it all, but we just don't understand it. So we have to learn the reality of all of that. What God is aware of everything. We're not aware of hardly anything that happens in our own life, but yet we try to become aware of everything that is happening in everybody's life. And all around the world, when we can't, we're not even aware of the things that are going on in our own life. So we've got to find comfort somehow, and we find that knowing. And this is what David tries to tell us, because mostly we find fear in knowing all that God knows all these things. But David says we got to find comfort in knowing all those things. We got to find comfort in knowing that God is always present in our life. We got to find comfort in knowing that God, He's always taking care of us, that everything is always constant with Him, that He knows all things even before we know them or do them. He says we have to learn to find comfort in that. So everything that everybody else sees, see, here's where we think sometimes in our life. We think that what everybody else sees, yes, God sees that. But He doesn't just see that, He sees everything. Even what nobody else sees. Even sometimes what you don't see yet, God sees that. And He knows those things that are going on. So He knows the things that you're thinking about, those things that just randomly come and go in your mind. And He also knows the things that you dwell upon as well.
That word patience.
Yeah. Yeah. So God pays attention to every detail of every person's life. So that means there is nothing that you can do in your life that is going to come as a surprise to God, because He already knows all of those things. So you might do something around your wife or your family, and you might surprise them, but it'll never surprise God, because He already knows all of those things. So one of the things that we have to learn is, a lot of people think that, well, since God knows all things, then why should I have to be responsible for those things that I'm going to do in my life? But just because God does know all things doesn't mean that we're not responsible for the things that we do or the choices that we make. So our choices, the things that we make in our life, we have to be held responsible for those choices, because our choices reflect on whether we have chosen whether to obey God or to be disobedient to the truth of God's Word. So those are the choices that we make. So those choices that we make, and this, like I said, has been coming up on Thursday night. Those choices that we make, even though God already knew a long time ago the choices that you were going to make, they're still, we made those of our own free will, those choices that we made. So, and even though that has happened, God still has chosen to love us unconditionally, because he gave His only begotten Son for us. So even before we were born, God knew the choices that we were going to make, but yet He still made sure that we had the opportunity to make the right choice, even though He knew we were going to make the wrong choice. Does that make sense to you? So we shouldn't, in our life, we shouldn't think that we shouldn't be held responsible for those choices. And a lot of people does blame God. Well, if God knew I was going to make the wrong choice, why did He let me go ahead and make it anyhow? But it's those choices are entirely up to us.
Sometimes it's called on the job.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. All right, so let's read a couple more verses. He says, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain to it." So what's he talking about here? So it's not just that God knows everything in our life. It's just not that he has complete knowledge of everything that's going on in our life. But to take that a little bit further, if we would allow God to be involved in everything that's going on in our life, then we would make less of the wrong choices in our life. God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. So why do we not involve God in every aspect of our life?
We think we know more.
There you go. Because we think that our choice is better. And usually it's because our choice is all about self and not about the glory of God.
We look for the easy way out.
Sure, we look for the easier way out. You're right. So God's trying to protect us. He's trying to make sure we have peace of mind. He's trying to make sure we have contentment in our life. And so he wants to reveal the nature of his knowledge to us. But we have to want to accept that in our life. And see, David said, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me." He said, "It's more than I deserve, or it's more than I need." So he said, "I just can't attain to it, or I just can't comprehend what that is, or what God is trying to do for me." So, and what God's trying to do, he's trying to remove, remember I told you, you're either comforted by God's knowledge or you're fearful of God's knowledge of us. God's trying to remove the fearful part. He wants to take that worldly emotion of fear completely out of our life. So that we would be able to say that not that I can't attain to it, but now I can attain to the knowledge of God. So, but we can only do that if we allow him to take that completely away from us or out of our life. And Paul talks about that over in Ephesians, in the third chapter of Ephesians, verses 17 through 19. Here's what he says. He said, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, and this is all part of God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and we had to have faith in order to be saved, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, or in his love, so that's another stipulation, that we must be rooted and grounded in God's love. If we're not, then we're not going to be able to do this. And he says, then we'll be able to comprehend with everybody else, with all the saints within the body of Christ. He said, we're going to learn now to comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what God's knowledge is truly all about. And he says, we do this to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which passes our knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. This is God's involvement in every aspect of our life. This is what he wants to do. He doesn't want us to do anything without first talking to him. So in order to do that, then he says in these few verses in Ephesians, our spiritual strength comes from our life in Christ, and our spiritual maturity enables us to understand our life in Christ. And he said our life in Christ, you cannot measure your life in Christ. That's what he said. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. You don't know how far that goes. Because it's an immeasurable dimension of what God's love is all about. And one of the things that we're supposed to do as believers within the body of Christ, we're supposed to pray that everybody will experience this in their relationship with God. So we don't pray for, Lord, let me experience more than Roger, or let Roger experience more than me, but let us all experience the same immeasurable love, the same immeasurable dimension. So we pray for that we all might experience this, because this is what's going to transform everybody's life.
I got one back in Hebrews 4.
Oh yeah, to the throne of grace?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and that's part of this experience, is to do that.
Well, when we come boldly within the
throne, right,
so we can be open-minded to God.
Which is hard to do, because every day Satan's going to try to bring the world into your life.
Yeah.
He just doesn't pick something random. He knows what it is in your life. If he brings this into your life, he knows that it'll distract you from your relationship with God and hinder your relationship with God. So that's why everything, we've got to be enabled, and we do this. We encourage each other through prayer, through everything that we experience, to live our lives on earth in the fullness and in the glory of God. See, most people think that that's when we talk about remission and justification, sanctification, and glorification, we always leave the last one off for some reason, because we think that we can't live glorified until one day we go on to be with the Lord. So if we think that, then we're never going to be able to live in the fullness of the glory of God here upon this earth. So there's one thing that we've cut out that now allows Satan room to bring something else in. So we've got to want to experience the fullness of the glory of God in our life every day, even if we have to experience it through the situations and circumstances that we're going through. We can still experience the fullness of the glory of God.
We're actually intentionally cutting ourselves short of what God has.
Sure, we miss out on so much. And that is because of we chose to do that. We don't think so. I mean, we would argue that fact. Well, I didn't choose to be miserable today. Well, if you're miserable today, you chose to be miserable today. So that's just one thing that we have to accept and to understand in our life. So 7 through 12, and this is what it might be a little bit hard to understand, but he says, whether shall I go from thy spirit, and whether shall I flee from thy presence? He's asking, David's asking this question, how did I get away out of your presence? How did this happen? Because he said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And a lot of people will say, well, if I went to hell, God's not down there with me. But I'll explain that. So he said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. So what David had, he was having a hard time understanding that. He understood about life and he understood about death, but he had a hard time understanding what is the connection between that and heaven and hell. So he, and the best way I could explain it is go back to the book of Jonah and read the story about Jonah and the fish, the big fish that swallowed Jonah.
Even though he was in the well, God still knows.
And I would go read it if I could only find Jonah. It ain't in my Bible. Oh, goodness gracious. I should have marked it.
It's after Obadiah before Moses.
No, but it's not.
It's not in
I jumped straight to Micah for some reason. Oh, goodness. Okay, here we go. No wonder I can't find it. It's only one page. Jonah chapter 2. And I wasn't going to read the whole chapter, but listen to what Jonah said. And this is what David was talking about. He said, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." And here's what he said. "I cried by..." So these are the key words here when we talk about in verse 8 when he says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." These are the key words. First of all, Jonah said what? He said, "I cried by reason of what? Mine own affliction." So, and that's what David was talking about when he said, "If I make my bed in hell," meaning by my own choice or my own affliction. But he said, "The Lord heard me out of the belly of what?" He didn't say out of the belly of the fish. He said out of the belly of what?
Hell.
"Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." So he said, whether I'm up here in my relationship with God, or whether I put myself down here in my relationship with God, God's always there. And he said, just like Jonah said, "By reason of my own affliction is why I've made my bed in what I consider to be hell, in what I consider to be the worst place that I've put myself." And Jonah understood that as well. He said, "And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I." Out of the belly of the misery, the torment, everything, the place that I put myself, he said, God still heard me.
Yeah, nowhere's out of his presence.
Isn't that where that saying came from? You make your bed and lay in it.
Huh?
Is that where that saying came from? You make your bed and lay in it?
Yeah. So this is what David was talking about. He said, even though I put myself in these places or in these positions in my life, he said, I've come to learn to understand that there is no way to escape God's presence. See, Jonah thought he was going to escape the presence of God. God allowed him to be where he was, just so he could get Jonah to understand that he was still in God's presence.
Found that out awful fast.
Yeah.
Well, God gives us a chance to make choices.
Right. So David said, when I feel I'm at my best in my relationship with God, he said, how come this is the only time that I have the ability to acknowledge the presence of God? So he said, what about those times that I made my bed in hell? What about those times that I chose the wrong direction for my life? Am I still in the presence of God? And when you go over and read the story of Jonah, or you can go over into Job and read some of Job, you'll find out that even when you're in the belly of hell, God's presence is still with you. So, as Diane said, his presence extends There's nowhere that his presence doesn't extend. And if he's extending it, then he's offering comfort and security, but you're only going to find it if you trust in him. That's the only way we're going to find it. So God is active in every situation and circumstance in our life. He's active in every trial, every tribulation, every temptation, so that we might be able to experience his strength, so that we might be able to hold fast to his strength. God's trying to prevent us from this continual fall that we're going through. We think we can only fall down once and then we have to get back up. No, you can fall down and you can keep falling down and down and down. As far as you want to take yourself, you can continue to fall. But even when we get to that point, like David or like Jonah, God can still lead us safely back into his righteousness. He can still bring us back to where he wants us to be.
It's God's there all the time, constantly. It's just us not wanting.
Right. So then he said, starting in verse 13, he said, "Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul shall write well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written," which is, now this, we might think this is talking, because God does keep a record of everything that we do in our life, but this is kind of, when David says this, he's thinking, God, in your thoughts, you know everything about me. But he says, "In my book are all my members written, which is continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." So God considers everybody that he has created, he considers us unique.
His little miracle.
Huh?
His little miracle.
Yeah, because he created everybody with value, and he created everybody with purpose, and he done it by giving detail and attention to everything. So not one person is created alike. We might have similarities, but nobody is created alike. And every person's life is an expression of God's power, of his wisdom, his knowledge, and his love, because we were created with an intention, with a purpose. And each person is designed to be a part of God's eternal plan. Now, once we're saved, we become whatever building block it is that God had intended for us to be, with Christ as the foundation stone.
How many of us ask God what part of that?
Yeah.
We don't go beyond our nose.
Yeah, we don't understand our purpose. That is the problem.
Sometimes we don't want to.
Yeah, we don't want to understand it, because with that comes responsibility.
We cut ourselves short. We don't think we're capable.
Right.
God has for us.
When I look at, when God's looking down on us, I imagine that the earth is a bad hill and we're just like a bunch of ants. We're out there, everywhere. God knows where we're going, but we don't know.
That's right. That's true. So he said, every day our existence is written. So whether it's part of what is written in the books or what is part is written in his eternal purpose and plan, it every day is his design, and every day of our life was preordained. He talked about that when he said, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb," meaning my life was preordained. So every person's life, every detail, every purpose was known unto God before it ever came about. So God knew before creation where you were going to be this morning. So before anything ever took place. So this should demonstrate God's sovereignty or his control over everything.
But you know, he talked about the ant hill. The ants get out and they go and they do
that. Yep. And, yep.
But a lot of people don't.
Right.
They seem to anyway.
That's true.
A robin has a great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll come back to that same nest they left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same place. Yep. That's yep.
It's amazing. Yeah, nature. You're like Julie. She gets out of jail or Western, she's in trouble.
That'll say, well, that's exactly what it says.
So the one thing that most of us lack is the greatest gift that we have, and that is understanding. We have wisdom, we have knowledge, but we lack understanding because we need to get our understanding from God. This is a gift, a precious gift that he instills within us when we choose to want that. And when we do gain understanding, then we feel the joy. We feel our purpose. We feel what part of God's plan we are.
With that understanding, we also need love.
Right.
Well, I go say, that's one of the greatest things God wants.
Yeah, his unconditional love. And we gain that with understanding. But just wisdom and knowledge doesn't give you that. Wisdom and knowledge tells you about it, but you need the understanding to feel it, and get a sense of all that in our life. And that's why it's so important that we're always searching for understanding in our life with Christ or with God.
It's the only way we're going to grow in maturity.
Yes, by gaining that understanding. And we only gain understanding when we choose to do so. If we want to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves and, oh, pity me, pity this, pity all this stuff that's going on in my life, then we're never going to get that sense of joy. We're never going to get that sense of purpose. We're never going to get that sense of God's love because we have the wisdom and knowledge, but we lack the understanding.
Right. He has that right before our eyes.
Yes.
It has shown us what it
is. Right. But we have to choose to do that. We have to choose to get up out of our... We have to choose to get out of the belly of hell.
Right.
Jonah would still be in the fish's belly had he not chosen. Well, he'd really be a sight today if he was still there, wouldn't he? He would still be there if he had not chosen to gain that understanding from God to get out of there.
How many today are still in the belly of the whale?
That's right. A lot of people. So, yeah. All right. Good lesson.